Today's daf is about Basra daf Kuf Lamed Beis. We left off somewhere on Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, but we're going to start again from the two dots. It's all one hemshech, it's one big sugya. So let's get started. We're at the two dots, Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, the fourth wide line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hakosev kol nechasov leishto lo asa el apotropa. If a person writes all of his nechasim over to his wife, meaning he gives it to her in a lashon matana, that he's giving all of his nechasim to his wife, so the halacha is that we assume that he's not really making her the owner of all of his nechasim, rather he's appointing her as an apotropos. He wouldn't give all of his nechasim to his wife at the expense of his children to not receive anything. Rather, what he's trying to do, right, that's what Rashbam says, Ein adam aniach es bana venosin es hakol leishto. Person wouldn't leave aside his children and instead give everything to his wife. Now the point is, he wanted to make her an apotropos in the hopes that his children will be mechabed his wife. The point is that obviously the father trusted her to be in charge of the estate to the extent that when they need something, she's the one that has to supply it for them. So that's going to engender a sense of kavod. And this is l'chora, not only if she is their mother, even if she is not their mother, meaning we're going to discuss who there's a chiyuv of kavod for. There's a chiyuv of kavod not only for one's mother, there's a chiyuv of kavod for eishes aviv. So he's trying to engender that sense of kavod that the children should have for for his wife. So pshita b'no hagadol so l'apotropos. It's pashut that if he gives over his nechasim to his oldest son, that for sure also that he's only making him an apotropos if he writes b'lashon matana, because again he wants the younger brothers to give kavod to the oldest brother. Why does he want them to give kavod to the oldest brother? Because sharei chayavin b'kavodo, because they're in fact chayiv to give him kavod. Kedam rinon, Rashbam says kedam rinon, like the Gemara says in Ksubas Kuf Gimel, ve'es l'rabo sachicha gadol. Right, we darshan from a pasuk the extra word ve'es, that you have to include it in the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim, is a mitzvah of being mechabed an oldest brother. So since it's a mitzvah, it's something that he's trying to encourage. So when he gives the oldest brother the rights to all that property, it's the rights to be an apotropos on the property so that they can view him with a sense of kavod. That's all he's trying to encourage. He doesn't actually want the oldest brother to be the owner of all the property at the expense of all the other children. There is a discussion in the Achronim. The chiyuv to be mechabed achiv agadol, is it an older brother or an oldest brother? Most Achronim assume that it's an oldest brother. I believe the Birkei Yosef quotes Deos about it, quotes a couple of Deos, but the general assumption is that it's the oldest brother only. Bino akatan mai. The reason I mention that is because the contrast, the Gemara says, between Bino HaGadol is Bino HaKatan. So does Bino HaKatan mean only the youngest? So depending on what you hold Bino HaGadol means, right, meaning our issue of whether we assume he's making him an apotropos or it's actually a suffix, it might be a legitimate matana, is only the idea that he's for sure making him an apotropos is only by a brother who the others are mechuyev to be mechabed. It wouldn't be by a brother who the others are not mechuyev to be mechabed. So if you say the brothers are only mechuyev to be mechabed, the oldest, Bnei HaGadol means only the oldest, Bnei HaKatan means any of the other brothers. It doesn't have to dafka be the youngest. So anyway, Bnei HaKatan mai, what would the din be if he writes all of his nechasim b'lashon matana to his younger son? So itmar Rav Chani loy baridi amar Shmuel, afilu b'na akatan amutul ba'arisa. He says, even if it's b'na akatan who's mutul ba'arisa, who's in a crib, he's still so young, still all he's doing is he's trying to show him kavod. Meaning, even in that situation, we assume that he doesn't really want to make him the owner of all the property, he's just trying to make sure that this one receives kavod. Pshita b'no va'acher, acher b'matano u'b'no apotropos. Says the Gemara, it's pashut, if you look at Rashbam explains exactly what this means. Pshita benova acher kolomar. Pshitali, it's pashut to me as follows. Shakosiv kol nechasov lebno shekarv lo yoser mikol krovav v'ratza b'kvodo yoser. Oh, akosiv kol nechasov li acher de lo chayish l'kvodo klal. Or you write over your nechasim to somebody else who you're not choshesh whether anyone is mechabed him or not. Pahani shnayim, in those two extreme cases, pshitili da acher b'makom banim mishum matana de l'kvodo lo chayish alaknos alasis lo b'matana. Meaning that's pashut, that the acher that you're giving it to is clearly going to be l'shem matana, and it's not just to make him an apotropos or to do it l'kavod. The in law so apotropin is gavin b'shvil she'ein banav yodin b'tiv maso matan. Because if he was just trying to appoint an apotropos because his child or his children aren't familiar with standard business practice, and therefore he doesn't trust that they're going to be able to handle the money properly, then he should have made that very clear. When he goes and identifies an acher, he should have made it very clear, I am making you an apotropos. And he should not have written a lashon of matana. But when it's a son amongst other sons, it's pashut that he's making him an apotropos. So he said again. So the Gemara's line was pshita benova acher b'matana ubeno apotropos. When you're dealing with either the son or an acher, the two extreme cases, then by the son it's pashut that you're making him an apotropos amongst the other children, and by the acher it's pashut that you're actually giving it to him as a matana. If you really wanted to make him an apotropos, then you should have said so. Ishta arusa v'ishto grusha b'matana. If it were ishto arusa, now by the way, just Rashbam says that's how he explained it. Rashbam says there's another way to explain the Gemara also. Rashbam points out the yesh mafarshim benova acher shasam biyachad l'shnein kol nechasa, that some say benova acher is one case. It's not describing two extremes. If you either give it to your ben or you give it to acher, it's saying no. You have a son and an acher, and you give it to both of them. You divide your nechasim between both of them b'lashon matana, and somehow the Gemara is commenting on that. Says Rashbam, but ve'ein nira be'inai. I don't accept that interpretation. Dimkena, am I beno mishum apotropo? Why would the son have the status of an apotropos? V'alohu nosin mechzalaze v'hai acher heich yiske b'kol ha'nechasim. He's giving half and half. How could the other guy get all the nechasim? U'beno amai yi apotropo v'alohu kasav lo kol nechasav. Right? Why would the son be an apotropos? He never wrote that he's going to get all the nechasim. He says it just doesn't fit into the words of the Gemara to suggest that it's actually one case. The beno v'acher idea is one case. No, like we said before, it's two separate cases, two extremes. You give it to Beno, that's extremely obvious that you only want him to be an apotropos. You give it to an Acher, that's extremely obvious that you really mean it as a Matana. Where you have middle ground are the following cases. Ishtar arusa v'ishto grusha. Right, you give it to ishtar arusa v'ishto grusha, so says the Gemara b'matana. We assume that's really a matana, because a woman who you only have erusin with, or certainly a woman who you divorced from already, you're not going to be choshesh for the kavod of that woman. So in that case, it's clearly not, if you write a b'lashon matana, it's clearly not just because you're trying to engender a sense of kavod toward her, because what do you care if people are mechabit or she's a grusha? So it must be that you really meant it as a matana. Ibailu, what about the following shaila though? Bas etzel abanim. What if you have a bas etzel abanim? Since we see you have a daughter among sons, since we know that as a father very often is more concerned about his daughter than he is about his sons in terms of how she's going to live and support herself after he dies. So that's what complicates the matter over here. If you look at Rashbam, Bas Eitzel HaBanim, about 8 lines from the bottom of the page, Kivon Danu Rowan Dechoshesh in the Inyan Nechasim Muatin. We know that when a man does not have a lot of money and he dies and he leaves over a very small estate, Damrinin HaBanos Yizonu V'HaBanim Yachsu Al HaPsachim. What's the halacha? The daughters receive mezonos, they receive whatever food they need to survive, and the sons, we have to fend for themselves. Let them go machzer al psach and let them go figure it out. Alma de chashin and liakra de banos miyakra de banim. What you see from that halacha is that a person is more concerned for the respect of his daughters than he is for the respect of his sons. That it's disrespectful for women to have to go around begging by the doors. So let the sons do that and let the daughter be supported. So if you're worried about your daughter's respect, so maybe a bas amongst banim, that you write all of your nechas of b'lashem matana to a bas amongst banim, maybe you really just are worried about her kavod, and you're making her an apotropos, and you're hoping that given that power, being empowered as an apotropos, will cause others to be mechabit her. Oh, Dilmor, maybe no. No, maybe That's a din kol kvud bas melech pnima, or in the bizayon adavar of going around collecting money. That you would never want your daughter to do. You wouldn't want your daughter to have to be mevaza herself. There's a big difference between bizayon and kavod, between lack of not wanting bizayon and wanting kavod. Right? Meaning the halacha is, yes, when you have very little money, you don't want your daughter to have to be mevaza herself to go collecting money. But that doesn't mean that you're actually going to raise her on a pedestal and that you want others to be mechabit her. Those are not the same. In halacha, we know those are not the same. There's a different av shemachal al kavodo, kavodo machal, but shemachal al bizayono. Right? A father can be mochal on his kavod, cannot be mochal on his bizayon. We know that kavod and bizayon have very different halachic statuses. But over here, when that the children should honor her, that maybe he's not so interested in. So bas etzal banim is a shayla. The isha etzal ha'achim, or let's say a woman amongst brothers. Let's say a guy doesn't have any sons, or father, and he has brothers. And since his brothers are not chayavim in the covet of his wife, so that's why we have a suffix. If he gives it to his wife and he has children, so then obviously we're saying, okay, he wants his children to be mechabit his wife, because they're mechuyev to be mechabit his wife. His brothers aren't mechuyev to be mechabit his wife, so do we assume, since his brothers are not mechuyev to be mechabit his wife, that cannot be his kavana, and his kavana must really be l'shem matana? Or do we say, no, he always wants people to be mechabit his wife, ishto kegufo, and he always wants, it doesn't matter whether they're, it's not a din in getting people to do the mitzvah that they're mechuyev in, it's a din in loving his wife and wanting people to show her respect and not being able to stand disrespect to his wife. That's all he wants. He wants his brothers, he wants his family to respect his wife, whether they are mechuyev to do so or not. So that's the shayla. Which way do we look at it? V'isha etzel b'nei habal mahu. The woman amongst the b'nei habal, what would the din be? I misspoke before I said that isha etzel banav is it's pashut that it's even if it's his kids, not hers. No, previously we were talking about where it's her kids also, where they're clearly mechuyev to be mechabit her. What about isha etzel b'nei habal? Rashbam says, d'lahavale banim mimena. He doesn't have children from her, he has children from other wives. Right, meaning when the children are hers, so then obviously he's making her an apotropos because he wants her own children to be mechabiter because they're mechuyev min haTorah to do so. But what if he has children from another woman who are not, notice the lashon, who are not so much chayev in her kavod? Elami Yisura Dekra, Esa Vicha L'Rabos Eishas Ha'av. So it's a, let's say, very unusual lashon, that Einon Chayavim B'Kvod Kol Kach. Why is it not that they're, why are they referred to as being not so much Chayiv in her Kavod? Because it's only darshan from a Yisura Dekra. It's only darshan from an extra word in the Pasuk. So what does he mean by that? And things that are dashed from an extra word in the pasuk are not a real chiyuv. So let's finish it up first. Esvichl Rabbi says, "Ava kol mi she'inu chayavin bekvodo, eino makbid imein mechabdin also, v'gam hi lo takbid im lo yichabdua elu." Anyone who's not chayiv in their kavod, he doesn't care if they're not chayiv in their kavod that they're going to be mechabid her. Vilka chama balinu chosheish l'matani chavin. So maybe he's not so interested in her kavod. What do you mean, anyone who's not chayiv in the... They are chayiv in the kavod. It's kavod eishes aviv. So there are a couple of possible explanations. One possible explanation is, of course they're chayiv in the kavod. And a yisur dekra is every bit as good as any other drasha. But the point is, it's less obvious to the hamon. Everyone knows, every child learns that there's a mitzvah of kibud avein. Not every child learns there's a mitzvah of kibud of eishes aviv. So the sensitivity to the chiyuv kavod, the reverence with which one normally holds the father's wife is not the same as the reverence with which one normally holds their real parent. The problem with that is, if that's a mistake lahalacha, if that's a problem, then he shouldn't accommodate a mistake lahalacha. So more likely what it means is, since it's not part of the etzem chiyuv, it's from a riboy of S. How do you understand the riboy of S? Is the riboy of S telling me that the same chiyuv you have for your father, you have for Eishes Aviv? Or is it telling me that since we get it from a riboy of S describing kavod for a father, that part of the din of kavod for your father is kavod for his wife. That a way of showing kavod to a father is by showing kavod to his wife. The Achronim have a similar chakira when it comes to kavod of a grandparent. Is the din of kavod of a grandparent a din of a way of showing kavod to your parents, or is it an independent chiyuv kavod? It could be what the Rashbam is suggesting, is that the chiyuv kavod for a parent's spouse is a way of showing kavod for the parent. So who cares? Either way, you're chayiv b'kvodam. Yeah, when they're alive, when your parent is alive, chayiv b'kvodam. Is it really showing kavod to your parent once the parent is dead already to show kavod to the spouse? They're not the spouse anymore once the parent is dead, right? They're not married anymore. There are two ways to end a marriage. There's death and there's divorce and death. So they have death. They're not married anymore. So is it really showing kavod to the parent to the deceased parent? Is there even a chiv to show kavod in that way to a deceased parent? It's a big discussion in the Achronim when the Gemara in Kiddushin says mechavdo b'chayv mechavdo b'moso b'moso ketzad. The Gemara says, how is one mechavid a parent b'moso? And it says, you say such a line, hareini kaparis mishkavo zechrono levracha, things like that. But more than that, it doesn't seem like from the Gemara that there is a chiyuv kavod of a parent la'achar moso. Okay, there's a discussion in the Achronim that the Gemara is just adding new chiyuvim, but maybe there still are other chiyuvim of showing general kavod, but it's not so pashut that showing kavod to the spouse would still be a chiyuv. So that's what it means. Maybe the father's not so makpid on the kavod you're going to show his spouse after he's already gone. So these are the cases of Shaila. Ishtar Rusa, Ishtar Grusha, Bas Eitzel Banim, and Isha Eitzel Achim, Isha Eitzel Bnei Abal. All of those are not so clear what his intention is. Does he intend to give it as a matana, or is it only a way of showing kavod? Amar Ravina Mishmei Derava, Bekulu Lokana Levar, Me Ishto Arusa Ve Ishto Grusha. So Ravina says in all of the other cases, besides for Ishto Arusa and Ishto Grusha, they are not kona, he's just making them an apotropos. But Ishto Arusa Ve Ishto Grusha, they are kona. He's not making them an apotropos. Rav Avira Mishmei, remember these names, they're going to come up again on today's daf. Rav Avira Mishmei, the Rav Amar, Bekulu Kani Levar Mea Isha Eitzel Ha'achin V'Isha Eitzel Bnei Abal. He says that they're all kona, except for the Isha Eitzel Ha'achin, Isha Eitzel Bnei Abal, they become an apotropos. So what does the Kulu refer to? So if you look at Rashbam, Rav Avira adds that Kulu Kana, Kulu hana chamesh nashim kanu levad mi ishe etzel achim vishe etzel b'nei abal ubesvarus bialma pligi ubas etzel abanam levada ika b'nayu l'ravina lo kanya l'ravira kanya. Meaning, Ravina and Rav Avira are only, of the five cases, they're only arguing in one, right? Because there were five cases in total, right? Ravina said, all of them are not kona except for two. And Rav Avira said, all of them are kona except for two. So basically, there's only one case that's in between that they're going to be arguing about. So the only real case that they argue about is Bas Eitzel Abanim, is a daughter among sons. When you write Kosev Kol Nechasov Lebito and you have sons, what do you intend? Do you intend to make that daughter an apotropos, or do you intend for her to actually own all of the estate? So that's the only machlokas between Rav Avira and Ravina. That's important to remember for later. Says the Gemara, Bayi Rava, this is the second time in the last 2 days that we've asked such a shayla, Bibari Hayach. What's the din if the discussion we just had were applied to a perfectly healthy person? The first time we asked the Shaila was in relation to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha talks about redividing the estate by giving all of your nechasim, or much of your nechasim, to one child over others. So we wanted to know, does a bari have the right to do that also, or only a shchivira? Now we're talking about when you're kosev kol nechasov to somebody, and your intention is to make them, you write a lashon matana, but we assume there's an umdana that your intention is to really make them an apotropos. Do we assume that by a bari as well? That if a perfectly healthy person writes a lashon matana to give all of his money to his wife, let's say, that he really intends that she should be an apotropos? Or do we say no, when he's perfectly healthy, he really means it as a matana? The bari heich, b'shchiv mirahu denichale de l'shtamen mila, aval b'bari hakayi hu. Do we assume that when it comes to a shchiv mirah, it's very important to him that he knows that he's at the end of the line, so he wants to make sure that his wife is respected after he's gone. But when he's healthy, well, he's here. He can make sure that she's respected just by being here and seeing to it that she's respected. He doesn't need to give her all of his money to be in charge of all of his money to make that happen. Odilma barinami nichalei d'lashtam mila mehashta. Or maybe even by a healthy person, he figures if he puts her in charge of the whole estate, so right, it's never too early to start being mechabit her, never too early to start being mechabit mam. So he wants to go and already show them this sense of kavod, but he doesn't really mean. He doesn't really mean that all of his nechasim should actually belong to her. It's just a way of showing kavod. So Tashma says, well, let's bring a raya. Hakosev peros nechasim the ishto, a guy writes the peros of his nechasim over to his wife, not the nechasim themselves, just that she now owns the peros from the nechasim. Govuk subasim in a karka. She is still entitled to collect her ksuba. She has not been mochelis her ksuba, so she can collect her ksuba from the actual karka, from the actual nechasim. Lemechtzel l'shlishel revia. Govik subasim nashar. If he writes over to his wife a half, a third, a quarter of the nechasim, again, she has not been mochel the rest of the nechasim, she can collect all of her ksuba from the rest of the nechasim. What's the big chiddush of this line? The Rashbam in the first skinny line, lozu avzu katani. Kasvla peros vafilu karka, meaning it's saying lozu avzu, that if he writes her peros, she didn't give up her ksuba, and even if he writes her karka, where you would think, well, when he's giving her karka, that's payment for the ksuba. By giving the karka, that's it. She no longer is entitled to the ksuba. She's being mochalas the ksuba. So it's telling me, no, even if he's kosev la karka, still she's entitled to the ksuba. Umiu, haydik tani, says Rashbam, haydik tani, lemechtzel l'shlishel l'rvia, bezuve insar l'mezu mefarshinan. That which we say, that lemechtzel l'shlishel l'rvia, is zuve insar l'mezu. V'lav dafka nakit kiay sidra hacha, elim shum du kal duch the ragel l'markein. Meaning it should really be the revia l'shlishel l'mechtzel, that if he gave her a quarter of the karka, still, she's still entitled to the ksuba. Even if you give her a third, she's still. Even if you give her a half, why does it say it in reverse order? He says, because that's the way it always says it. Meaning the reveal shlishel lemechtzel is the that's just the phrase the Gemara uses, but it really means to put it in the other order and to show zuve in sarach lamarzu. Tells us also is by the tema my kamashma pshita. Of course, you give her a little bit of karka, she's not mechelz the ksuba. So it says tells us zomri derabusa kamashma de kishen nosen la peros soda achas shtei shanim oshalosh. Lo yuchlo yisom and liton velomar shetitul ksubasa may also sada sheish laperos elagovu ksubasa mishar sados shein labehem klun. If a woman already owns the peros because the husband already gave her the peros for a couple of years from a particular field, the yisomim do not have the right to tell her, you know what, you're already getting the peros from that field, why don't you just collect the ksuba from that field? You're already in it, you're already involved in that field, just collect the ksuba from that field. They cannot tell her that. Ella govik subasa mishar sados she'en leben klum. She can collect the ksuba from other fields of which she doesn't have any connection to. Lefisha rotza litol ksubasa miyad, because she's entitled to want to take her ksuba right away. Ubasada she'esh laperos en yichal lehanas miksubasa ad shteishan amashal she'en zman peroseha. But in a field that she already is enjoying the peros from, well then, taking the karka is not going to benefit her for another 2-3 years. Because for the next 2-3 years, while she's still entitled to the peros, she's still entitled to them. She's already getting those peros. So she's not getting any additional benefit by collecting from that field. That's the additional chiddush of l'shlishul revia, that she's govuk suvasa min ashar, that she collects from other fields that she has no connection to. Says the Gemara Vayter, kasuv kol nechasov l'ishto, and again, all this is still trying to prove what would be the case if a perfect bari, a perfectly healthy person, were to write a lashon matana to his wife and all of his nechasim. So here's where the raya is going to be from. Kasuv kol nechasov l'ishto. A guy writes over all of his nechasim to his wife. V'yatza lov shtar chov. And then it turns out that there's a shtar chov against him that predates that shtar matana that he just gave to his wife. Now let's keep in mind what happened here. He married her. When he marries her, he's meshuba to pay her ksuba. That shibud predates any chov, right? Mm-hmm. Then comes a chov that he owes, he borrows money from somebody, he owes somebody money, and then after that he writes all of the nechasim over to his wife b'lashon matana. So if you're going to be focused on the ksuba element, the ksuba comes before the chov. If you're going to be focused on the matana, well, the chov predates the matana. So what do you do over here? Rabbi Elazar Amar Tikra Matanasa V'tamar Al Ksubasa. Rabbi Elazar says, forget about the matana. The matana was just to make things better for her, liyafos kocha, right, in order to give her more nechasim, but she was not mochel, the shibut that she has on his karkaos to collect her ksuba, even though he already gave her all of the nechasim as a matana. That just because she accepted as a matana does not mean that she's mochelas on the shibud that predates the chov, so that shibud still kicks in and she's able to use it to collect her ksuba and overpower the bal chov. The Chum or the Chum say no. Tikra ksubasa v'taman al matanasa v'nimtzis karachas mikan mikan. Just the opposite. You tear up the ksuba, not literally tear up the ksuba. Right? Rashbam says lav dafka because she's not really mochel the ksuba. It just means the shibud that she has from the ksuba that gets torn up. That shibud doesn't exist, and instead the matana is all we're interested in, and therefore she's going to. Turns out she's going to lose because she's going to collect this money, and then she's going to be karachas mikan mikan because the Baal Chov will then be able to take away these karkos from her. The truth is the Gemara could stop right there. It would seem the Gemara could stop right there and already express our raya about what the halacha would be if a perfectly healthy person gives all of his nechasim to his wife. But firstly, we finish with the end of the brisa. Vam Rabbi Yuda Nachtom, the baker, another one in the list of Tanaim who were employed. They had jobs. They worked for a living. It's not such a great chiddush. Rabbi Yuda Nachtom said as follows: Ma'isa v'ira adavar bebas achosi kala. He says there was a story that happened with my daughter's, my sister's daughter, my niece, who's also my daughter-in-law. His niece is his daughter-in-law, meaning first cousins married each other. It used to be very common practice, happened all the time. So he says something as recently as two generations ago. This was common practice in Europe. So he says, my niece, who's also my daughter-in-law, the following story happened. Uba Maisel Fnei Chacham, meaning this exact story happened where it was, he was wrote over Kol Nechasav B'Matana to her, and then a Baal Chov came, and the Chachamim dealt with this Maisa, Va'armu, and they paskind, Tikrok subasa v'taman al matanasa v'nimtzis karachas mikana mikan. That she loses, that the moment she accepts that matana, she's being mochelas any shibud that she previously had for her ksuba, and it turns out that she loses everything. Taima diyatzal of shtarchov. So says Gemara, okay, now let's bring our raya. Why does she lose? Because a shtarchov came out against her, against the property. Halo yatzal of shtarchov kanya. Oh, but the implication is that had there not been a shtarchov, when a husband writes all of his nechasim over to his wife, she is the owner of all the nechasim. We don't assume he's just being nice, wants to make her an apotropos, just wants to engender a sense of kavod, or any of that. No, that when he's a healthy person and he writes kol nechasim b'matana to his wife, it's a genuine matana. It's really hers. Ubimai, what's the case? If you think we're talking about a case of a shchiv mira, we know it's not talking about a shchiv mira, because by shchiv mira we know that he only intends to make her an apotropos when he writes kol nechasav to her as a shchiv mira. Elav bebari, it must be that we're talking about a bari, and that's our raya, that when a bari writes over kol nechasav to his wife, it's legitimate. He really means it. So isn't this a raya? So answers the Gemara, no. Liolim b'shchiv mira. Really, it's talking about a case of a shchiv mira. Doesn't she automatically become an apotropos then? Isn't it not hers? Ravaviru mukula bakulu. Ravaviru would say it's talking about all those cases that she is kona. I mean, you remember of the five cases that we had, right? Ravaviru says all of them except for Isha Eitzel Achan and Isha Eitzel Bnei Abal are really kona. So it's talking about one of those other cases, meaning the Ishto Grusha, Ishto Arusa, the Bas Eitzel Abanim. Those are the cases it's referring to. Ravina mukula bi Ishto Arusa Ishto Grusha. Ravina will say it's talking about the only two cases where it really is a matana, namely Ishtar Rusa Ishtar Grusha. Now remember, Ravina and Ravavira really only argued about one case. They both hold Ishtar Rusa and Ishtar Grusha are cases where it really is a matana. The only case that they disagree about is Basay Talabanim. Rashbam points out that it's weird for the Gemara to say that Ravira says it's Bekulu, it's talking about all the cases, meaning Ishtar Grusha, Ishtar Rusa plus what? Basay Talabanim. And Ravina says it's only Ishtar Grusha, Ishtar Rusa. How can you say this Bryce is talking about Basay Talabanim? This Bryce is clearly talking about a wife. The Bryce was explicit. Kosef peres nechasav le ishto was explicit in the Bryce. So how could you say Rav Avira is mukila bakulu? No, it should say both Rav Avira and Ravina are both mukila ba ishtar rusa v'ishtar grusha. And they both agree in those two cases, ishtar rusa ishtar grusha, that it's a real matana. So Rashbam is bothered by this and he sort of brushes it off. And he says, yeah, we're only saying this lashon of kulu because that's the lashon Rav Avira used before, but eino chinami. Basay Talabanim has no shaychus to this brisa, and Rav Avira and Ravina would really both say the same thing over here, that the brisa must be talking about one of those rare cases where you write your nechasim to your wife and you don't intend to make her an apotropos, you only intend to make her You really intend to give her the matana, and that only applies to ishtar rusa ishtar grusha. L'chora, you shouldn't even be able to say it applies to ishtar grusha, because stam, when a brisa says you're giving something to ishto grusha, there's a word for that. Someone she's no longer ishto. That's called right. A grusha is not ishto. Ishto grusha are really contradictory terms, right? So pashtus is it's really only talking about ishto arusa. But like the Rosh Pam says, we're only mentioning the lashonos that Ravina and Rav Avira used, but we don't literally mean that it's talking about all these cases. So bottom line is we don't have a raya from this brisa about the case of a bari. The brisa is talking about the case of a shchiv mera. Amar Rav Yosef ben Yomi, Amar Rav Nachman halacha. Says the halacha happens to be that you should tear up the ksuba, and the matana is the binding thing when whatever the hechitim of the brisa is, ishta arusa, ishta grusha, whatever it is. But the halacha is that the matana is what we pay attention to, and therefore the balchov is going to be able to collect from the karkaos, and she's going to lose on both sides of it. So that's the psak of Rav Nachman. Now it happens to be what are we paskin by a bari? We asked a shaila by a bari, and we never came to any conclusion of what the halacha is by a bari. So, since the suffix was not nispashed in the Gemara, the Rif and the Rambam both say that the mekablei hamatana from the bari, the people who receive the matana from the bari, have to bring a raya that the guy who gave them the matana had in mind to really give it as a matana and not as an apotropos. Because they're considered to be motzi mamon, and a motzi mechaver alav araya. They're considered to be trying to be motzi from the yarshim. The yarshim are the ones who are really entitled to the money. Hamotzi mechaver alav araya. Now one could have argued the exact opposite. In fact, there seems to be some sort of steer in the rush over here. You could have argued the exact opposite. That what we know, what do we know for sure? We know this guy gave them a lot of property, and he said this is a matana for you. The Yarshim want a taina. Nah, we didn't really mean matana. He only meant you should be an apotropos. Really? He said matana. So you could have argued Amotzi mechaver olav araya would go the other direction. The Yarshim want to take it away from him. They better prove that it's not a matana if they want to take it away from him. But the Rif and the Rambam assume not that way. They assume that if you want to take it away from the Yarshim, you have to prove that it was a matana, even though that's exactly what the Lashon said. Since it's so common for this Lashon matana to really mean apotropos, you have to prove that it really genuinely meant matana over here. So anyway, Rav Nachman Paskins, going back to the case where you do mean matana, that if a woman has a ksuba, then there's a balchov that has a shibud after the ksuba, and then it's all given to her as a matana, so the matana is what's binding, we assume she's mocheles her ksuba when she gets that matana. So she's mocheles the shibud on the ksuba. So frekling Mary is that to suggest that Rav Nachman is not interested in Umdana? He doesn't follow the concept of Umdana, because the Umdana would have been that the woman is not Mochel her Shibud on the Ksuba just because of the Matana that she received. So Rav Nachman doesn't follow that Umdana. Vatanya, we know Rav Nachman generally does follow Umdana. A guy's son travels off to Medina Siam and he hears the sad news that his son has died. So instead he decides he's going to write overalls and nechassim to other people, v'charkach babino, and then, sure enough, his son walks in. So matana, so matana. The assumption is that the matana is still a binding matana. All the property belongs to these other people. Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi Omer in matana, so matana. Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi says, no way. His matana to the other people is not. It was on a false premise. Shiloh yodeh shabno kayim lo kasvan. Had he had any idea his son was alive, he never would have written a matana over to these other people. So there's no way that the matana counts. So v'am Rav Nachman halacha. Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi, and Rav Nachman says, follow the umdana. We know that he never would have given these nechassim over to other people had he known that his son was still alive. So we follow the umdana. So isn't it a question? We see Rav Nachman does follow an umdana. Answers the Gemara: Shaini hasim de nichala de tepak ala kala de kasun neila lahanu nechassim. It's not so pashut what the umdana is in the case of the isha when you give her all your nechassim. When you're writing your nechassim to somebody else because you assume your son died, and the Rishonim point out that the lashon, the Rumiri points out the lashon is omad v'kasav. He gets up and he immediately writes, which implies, Rabbi Kivegar points out actually, that implies that as soon as he hears his son dies, that's when he gives it away. Clearly from his actions you see that he's giving it away because his son died. But when you're writing kol nechasav liishto, it's not so pashut that the woman is not mochel the shibra and ksuba. Maybe she really wants it to be a matana. Why does she want it to be a matana? So she can go around telling everyone, look how much my husband loves me. He gave me this great big matana. He gave me all of his nechasim. So it's not that he doesn't rely on umdana. There are umdanas and there are umdanas. He relies on strong umdanas. He doesn't rely on weak umdanas. Right? He disputes what actually is an umdana. Tanan Hassan, we have a Mishnah. Of the ksubasa. If a guy writes his nechasim to his children as a matana, and then he gives over to his wife karka kolshu, tiniest amount of land, she loses her entire ksuba. She no longer is entitled to collect the ksuba. Frek the Gemara, what? Mishum the kasala karka kolshu of the ksubasa? What, just because he gave her a little tiny bit of karka, she lost her entire ksuba? Does that make any sense? Gemara says three approaches. Number one, Amrav b'mezaka lehen al yada. The case is, she lent her handkerchief so that he could be makno all the nechasim to the children. So we assume, based on the way she's behaving, she's contributing her handkerchief to the cause to do the kinyan sudar, right? So we assume that she's actually being mocheles. Shmuel Amar, b'mechalik lefanav yishol sakas. Not that she actually did anything. She wasn't mezaka through her handkerchief or whatever. Rather, it's just that she was right there, was right in front of her face. He was mezaka to the children, and she didn't say anything. And so we assume that since he gave her karka kol shu, and she didn't say anything when he gave the rest to everybody else, that's shtika koda, that she was being mother, that she's mocheles the ksuba from that point forward. Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina omer, bomer latli karka zum b'ksuba sayich. Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina says, no, even if she wasn't there, and even if she didn't give her ksuba, and even if she didn't give her handkerchief, and even if it was not in front of her face that he was giving it to the children, rather, it was just b'lashon zeh. When he wrote it to her, he says, this karka is tli karka zum b'ksuba sayich. You should take this karka as your ksuba. And she didn't object to that statement. She just accepted the karka without saying, what? B'ksuba sayach? What do you mean b'ksuba sayach? I still want my ksuba. The fact that she didn't say anything when he gave it to her, we assume that that means she was mochel. Rashbam points out, achron mekel. Each shita goes up in level of kula, that you have less and less of a requirement of what it takes for her to be mochel or ksuba. In the last case, she could have not even been aware of the fact that he gave all the nechasim away to the children, and still we assume that she was mochelis just because he used such a lashon of b'ksuba sayich. And all of these is really a kula of the ksuba, meaning this is all part of the idea that a woman's ksuba, she only collects ziburis, she has a real, she doesn't have the upper hand when it comes to collecting ksuba, and that's because we assume tav lemes of tandu mil mes of armelu, a woman always prefers to be married than not married, so we don't have to give her too much of a yifui koach with the ksuba. Tonight we have Mishnah Rabbi Yosi Amarim Kibla Leah Afli Shlo Kasavla of the ksubasa. If she im kibla aleh, even if he didn't write he didn't write over the nechasim as a replacement for the ksuba, still she loses the ksuba. Mechal the tanakama saver ksiva v'kabalabai. That implies that the tanakama holds from the fact that Rabbi Yossi says that kabbalah without the ksiva is already going to be make her lose the ksuba. Implies that the tanakama holds that you need ksiva and kabbalah, which is difficult for all the deos that we just quoted, because all the deos were just that she was shosaka, she didn't say anything, right? As long as she writes, and that was enough for her to lose suksuba. Sounds like the Tanakama held that she has to, no, not just be shosaka, she has to actually be makabel. So v'chite makul Rabbi Yossi, maybe you're going to say, no, the whole b'risa is Rabbi Yossi v'hatanya, but we know that's not so. Because Amar Rabbi Yudah comes to explain the Tanakama against Rabbi Yossi. Emes ha'ishay sosham v'kibla leha. That's only if she was there and she was actually makabel. Avalay sosham v'lo kibla leha. Kibla level of Haisham, but if she was there and was not Makabal, or she was Makabal but was not there, law of the Ksuba, so she does not lose the Ksuba. So Tiyufta the Kulu Tiyufta, so Tiyufta on all of those people that we just quoted before who seem to assume that she loses her ksuba even absent a kabbalah, even if she's just shosakas. Amr le Rav Rav Nachman, ha Rav Hashmuel, ha Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, mar mai sfir lei. Okay, we have all these shitas. What do you hold? Bottom line, when does she lose her ksuba? If he does what, does she lose her ksuba? If he gives her what and she agrees to what? Amr le Shani Yomar Kibin Shasa Shutav Ben Abanim of the ksubasa. As long as he makes her a partner amongst the children, she's accepting that in lieu of her ksuba, and she loses her ksuba. Therefore, it manami. Amrav Yosef Bar Minyumi Amrav Nachman Kivin Shasa Shutav Ben Abanim of the Ksubasa. If he made her a Shutav amongst the sons, she loses her Ksuba. Now the third time we ask the Shaila, Bari Rava, but Bari Heich. What if he did that and he gave that matana to her when he was perfectly healthy? Do we assume when he's very sick, she knows he's not getting any more property to collect her Ksuba from, and he's giving it all away to the children, she knows she's not going to be able to collect her Ksuba, and therefore she's Mochel. But when he's healthy, she thinks he's going to be kona more property. Or maybe no. She knows that right now he doesn't have anything else, and therefore, by him giving away all of his nechasim to his children, she very likely is being mochel suksuba. Teku, so we're not really sure how that would apply to a bari. We'll pick up four stories tomorrow.